Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome, good morning, a beautiful morning in Johannesburg. Sit back, relax and enjoy. I have a wonderful show this morning. I have in the studio a very, very special guest. I'll introduce him in a few moments. And this morning I'm also going to talk about two wonderful people who on Wednesday celebrated their 75th wedding anniversary. I did mention this on Tuesday, and that is Louis and Minnie Caselta. And today also is the yahrzeit of the late Rabbi Irmiyahu Eloy Zatzal. I'm sure many of you remember. This is 19 years since he was niftar. So in the studio this morning, I've got Reverend Ilan Herman, who 2 weeks ago concluded 18 years of dedicated and loyal service to the Lion Shul, the Dornfontein Hebrew Congregation. So good morning, Ilan. It's a pleasure having you. And I'm going to ask you about the highlights of your 18 years of service.
Good morning, Isaac. Great to be with you and the listeners here on Chai. Wonderful. It's been an incredible journey. 18 years, commencing all the way in 1999 back then. Prior to that, I'd actually been, for 2 years serving at the Observatory Curve Minyan. And then subsequent to that, in 1999, as I say, joined the Lion Shul in Dornfontein, which was and still is the last standing shul of the old Dornfontein community and communities where the center of Jewish Johannesburg was back then, which you'll know all too well. I believe you're sending a big troupe of a group across to the shul for a visit soon.
Yes, we're going to do a tour. We have got about 20 Israeli teachers on an exchange program, and I'm also taking the King David teachers as well, and we're going to tour the shul, and I'm going to give them the history of Dornfontein, the shul, etc. Because very few people know, as you said, it's the oldest shul in Johannesburg today, going back to the beginning of the century. It was built in 1903, but there's a rich history there. But just before we continue, I just want to mention that my association with Ilan goes back many years with his grandparents, that's the Balkins, and of course his mother Tamar, and the uncle Gerald Balkin, who used to come to my youth service at the Sirildin Shul. Today he's living in Israel and married with how many children today? And grandchildren.
Kenai Nahura, extraordinary large family.
Yeah.
Staying in, what is it, the it'll come back to me.
It'll come to you. Part of and Israel. Of course, the Balkans, I remember, they came to Sirildin Shul. They lived in Clip Street.
That's
and,
right.
And, Ethel Balkin, your grandmother was the, president of the Women's Zionist Council.
For many years.
For many, many years. Very, very involved. And of course, did you know there was a relations in Mafeking, who were also very involved as well. But I can go into that history.
Aronovitz's
as well,
right.
Yes. I was going to go into that history as well. So now let's just hear some of the highlights. And I'm also going to mention the Dornfontein Shul, who the spiritual leaders were, the Chazonim were there, the committee. I'll go back to very one person first. That was Arthur Ginsberg. Now, Arthur Ginsberg served on, he was born and he lived in Dornfontein, and he served on the Federation of Synagogues. He was also on the Union of Orthodox Synagogues. His late brother was very, very well involved with the Pretoria Hebrew Congregation. His name was Marcel Ginsberg. I'm sure many of you remember. And of course, there was Ephraim Milner and there was Mike Bohm. And I remember Harry Mirrells, Myron Michael. I'm sure many people remember him. He went to Grahamstown University. He was doing journalism. And then there's Nicky Burr. And the list is endless. We could go on.
Yeah, that's one of the fascinating things about the shul that I found. And it's the incredible amount of people that have either passed through that were actually mainstay congregants. And then the extended people that networked, sort of connected through the shul via either family or close friends. So I would even travel overseas, and I would come across people in Canada, Australia, the states that had a close affiliation connection. Or connection to this Lion Shul.
The Ephraim family. Now, you mentioned, allow me to the name Merrill's. Do you know there was a fire in the shul in the late, I think it was
1940s.
And I'm sure many of you know Chalky Merkel and his father ran into the shul and saved all the Sefer Torah. I'm sure very few people didn't know that.
Penny Merkel.
Yeah.
Was it Penny that ran Merkel. In, that's right.
And then also the Ephraim family. I mean, I don't have to tell you about them there as well. And then the Rabbonim that were there, there was Rabbi Gordon. Now, Rabbi Gordon was on the Johannesburg Beth Din. And then there was Rabbi Michael Kosofsky, the son of Rabbi Yitzhak Kosofsky, who was the Rav of the Federation of Synagogues. And then Rabbi Neifeld, I remember him well. Then he went to Pine Street when he left. And then there was Rabbi Shame Bullel, and now, and then yourself, who succeeded him. So, also the Chazonim was Israel Abramovitz, inspector. I remember very, very well, Chazon inspector. I'm sure many of you remember his son, Louis inspector. He had that bottle store in, I think it was, yes, just off Jeppy Street there, Claim Street. And then there was, Yitzhak Lerman. Later on he went to, Yeshiva College. And then Yosef Badash. Chazon Badash came from Jeppy Shul, he went to Kensington, then he went to Dorfontein, and when he retired, he went to live in Cape Town, because his two sons were there. There was Felix or Philip at the Seapoint Shul, and Max was at the, Garden Shul. And then there was Chazon Yair Suba, very, very well known. And then currently now there's Cantor Eric Wiener. So let's get back to Ilan. We're going to take a break in a few moments. Just tell us one highlight, and then we can continue.
I'll think of a few. One is, you mentioned about Penny Merkel that ran inside the shul when there was a fire, and he went and he saved the Sefer Torahs. Sifrei Torah, and I was actually we'd arranged a visit from King David School, who had gone to the creche. There used to be a creche next to the shul for many years, closed down a number of years ago. The hall that was belonged to the shul, which they subsequently sold a number of years back. And that time when the creche was there, so King David School came to visit to bring them some goodies and to cheer them up. And then the kids came inside the shul and were seated, and I went to the pulpit and I started just to speak a little bit about the history of the shul. And I came to the point about Penny Merkel, mentioning about that there was a fire in the shul, and a particular gentleman ran in to the shul, endangering his own life, and he wanted to preserve the Sefer Torah. And one of the kids put up their hands, and I took the question. And he said, no, it's not a question, Rabbi. This is just a comment. That man that you're referring to was my grandfather. And it was a young boy from King David, and he was recalling the brave and heroic act that his grandfather had performed. It brought him quite a lot of comment and... you know, he really felt very, very
proud
of his grandfather. And it made a statement to the other kids, and I think it makes a statement to all of us about the importance of Sefer Torah. And there's beautiful Sefer Torah in the Lion Shul, dedicated over the many, many decades. And it was one of the highlights, taking out the Sefer Torah and reading from it to the congregation, Simchas Torah, dancing with the Torahs around the Bima, and there's so many memories. If I were to tell you, for example, I recall fondly the 100th anniversary of the shul, which was in 2006, some 11 years back. And we had the Johannesburg Jewish Male Choir, which came through to sing along in the shul to a packed audience. And they began with Ma Tovu, Ma Tovu.
Yeah.
I think you were there. Were you there that evening? And we had esteemed guests, and then Mr. King. I don't know if you know, Mr. King gave the address at the hall. Although he himself, not being Jewish, he had such a close tie to the shul and to Doornfontein, having grown up in the area.
His name was Mervyn King.
Professor Mervyn King, that's
King is,
right.
He was a judge. He was a judge. And I went to school with him at Atherton Boys High School.
Really? Such a successful man. And he spoke so highly of not only the Jewish community of the Doornfontein era, but also of the success of Johannesburg at large, the development of the Jewish community that extended out of Doornfontein, but began there in that area and that precinct where the Lion's Shul was.
Right. We're taking an ad break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Now, Soul Workout presents the following. Never Alone. It's a concert featuring the amazing, talented Alexandra Harmonious Melodies. It's a fundraiser for the Lone Soldier Organization. And it's going to feature Elton Krawitz, Ilan Herman, Ezra Scher, Ezra Altshuler, Shmuley Brawl, and
Ezzy
Slasky. Now, it's going to take place, and the Sandton and the King David Sandton Primary School Choir. It's going to take place on Sunday night, the 17th of September, between 9:15, 21:30 at the Linda Auditorium. Tickets are 180 to 280. You can book now at www.webtickets.co.za or call the Corlell Book Shop. So that's the Never Alone fundraiser for the Lone Soldier. I'll mention this again a little later on. Now let's get back to talking about the Doornfontein community. And you know, that Lion's Shul is such a beautiful shul. And I'm going to just mention something with your permission, just to divert. A year ago, about a year and a half ago, I arranged for a film to be made on the life of Nelson Mandela, and it's just about ready now. And we needed a shul which would look similar to the shul in Pretoria where they held the treason trial. We didn't want a modern shul like, for example, a Sydenham or a Pine Street. We needed that old type of European-style shul. And we looked around, and I suggested to the filmmaker, the production manager there, let's go to the Lion's Shul in Doornfontein, because there it's got a ladies' gallery, it's got the old-fashioned Oren Kodesh, and we did use the Lion's Shul. Now, that film will be released in the next 6 months, 5 to 6 months. It's all about the treason trial. Remember the shul in Pretoria? It was in Church Street, and they when the shul was sold, of course, they moved on to the new shul, and they turned that shul into what they call a court for the treason trial. So just wanted to mention this, why the Lion Shul has got such a beautiful history, such a wonderful atmosphere, the old Hamish-style shul. And I'll come back to the title Lion Shul in a few moments. So other highlights that you want to mention, Ilan?
There's been so many. As I mentioned, 18 years, there's been highs, there's been lows. When I say lows, you know, as the community dwindled over the years, I initially stayed in Yeovil, and it was really not far to walk to the shul. Yeovil was a incredibly enriched environment in terms of its Yiddishkeit. The shuls, the Medina in general, was just thriving. It was a shtetl of Torah and of spirituality in so many ways. And that was the breeding ground for so much that took place in terms of the thriving and the dynamism of the community, which developed, which eventually replanted itself in the northern suburbs as we know it. So having started there in Yeovil, and then the Yeovil community, as I mentioned, migrated, we stayed there for a long time thereafter, And at some point it was just untenable. So the move took place and I'd gone through to Orchards near the HOD. And from there it became quite challenging. I would walk up and back Friday nights, Shabbos mornings. And it was something which was both at the same time inspiring in terms of the exercise and the freshness of the early mornings, but very trying. And I recall certain instances where it wasn't so safe. There were a number of times that I was mugged walking to the shul in those early hours of the morning. And the community dwindled slightly over the years. That said, the amazing thing about the Lion Shul is the tenacity to continue, the defiance of the congregation and the congregants to keep opening the doors and keep making it happen, and making it a very pleasant and positive and sort of Lebedeke environment in the shul. There's a lot of Chavashaft that inhabits that atmosphere of that shul. Now, probably if I had to pick the highlight of the year at the shul, would be a young man by the name of Dean Santup. Dean is the son of the resident Kohen, whose name is Percy Santup, who's been for decades and decades at the shul. Now, Dean initially had his bar mitzvah there at the shul, and he made a sort of resolution that each year annually he would come back and he would lane his bar mitzvah portion. And as the years progressed, not only did he come and celebrate it, but he started to bring across his friends, his colleagues, his work friends, such that come the Shabbos morning, the annual reading of Dean Santup's anniversary of his bar mitzvah reading, the shul triples in its attendance. And there's an incredible celebration with the biggest possible kiddush you can imagine. And it's being the fact that Dean works at the Blue Label Company, he makes special effort to make a special kiddush with Blue Label Scotch on that day. So it's become the Dean Santup Shabbos with Blue Label being served at the kiddush on that particular morning.
I must mention the kiddush at that Lion Shul in the morning is the finest you'll ever get. It's unbelievable. I used to walk there with the late Chief Rabbi Harris, because he stayed in Houghton and I lived around the corner from him, and we would walk down there. And the kiddush is absolutely amazing. But we forgot to mention one name. It's not even on this list.
Yes.
We've got to mention the name of the late Izzy Schlapperbursky. He was the former mayor of Johannesburg, alderman, and he used to come and he used to daven there for the Omid, for the Lion Shul, for many, many, many years.
He was a real dedicated guy. He used to be the gabbai at the Torah, so he would correct me when I was laning and stand by as the aide. He would be the master of ceremonies, if you were, at the kiddush, making his announcements to the congregation. And there's a plaque on the bima, which was established by his grandsons and children in his honor and memory on the two sides of the bima for his contribution, dedication to the shul of the years. Yeah, primarily the Shabbos morning minyan, which he was one of the founders of, the early Shabbos morning minyan.
One of the stalwarts. Yes. Now, just to get back, I just want, for our listeners, I'm not going to get back to the name Lions yet, but did you know when that shul was built, it was originally built as it was going to be a reform shul. Because the architect was a gentleman by the name of Harris, and his son was a Rabbi Harris, who was a Reform rabbi. And they built that shul in 1903. And, as I said, it was going to be a Reform shul. But everyone in Dorfontein objected to it because 99.9% were all from Europe. None of them knew about what reform was about. So this Reverend Harris had a very, very short stay. And then, of course, there was, by the way, another fire before in 1920 when they also rebuilt the shul. And all the records, unfortunately, were destroyed. So carry on if you've got any other comments as well, any other highlights.
Well, often the highlight was walking up the road toward the shul, and one of the congregants would stop up alongside me and say, "Rabbi, would you like a lift?" And I might reply, "I would love to take a lift, but it cannot jump in the car due to it being Shabbos." And I think part of the, if I were to say, part of the legacy that I feel that I've left behind at the Lion Shul is the demonstration with Hashem's blessing that He's given me the ability to do many kilometers. And I think I've estimated over the years approximately 15,000 kilometers over the 18 years of walking back and forth through the northern suburbs back to the shul and back home again. And I think it's the fact that I'm very proud of the fact that one is able to demonstrate the importance of Shabbos and the importance of observing the letters of the law to the best of one's ability.
And we mustn't forget, by the way, there was another lay leader, not a religious leader, called Reverend Smith.
Yes, you may, of course.
Yes. Also for many, many years gave dedicated service. He lived in Pierce Street in Dorfontein, around two or three blocks away. And you know, next door the shul, or behind the shul rather, you got the Alhambra Theatre.
Yes.
And
that's
next
right.
door was a restaurant. And it was owned by... Is it funny?
There was, and was that Wachenhammers?
No. The Wachenhammers was in Bates Street.
Right.
This, I'm talking Sivrat Avenue and between Seamit Road.
Right.
It was owned by a very, very famous, Afrikaans sculptor. And
yes.
His name was Anton van Vaux.
Yes. Famous. Anton, very famous guy.
Very famous. And the Alhambra Theatre was also behind the shul. And you know, you mentioned that the hall, the hall was named after Rabbi Neufeld. It was called the Neufeld Hall. So we're going to take an ad break. We're back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Pick and Pay Hype in Norwood has amazing specials. Addis, 110-liter rough note, was $229.99, now $159. Big Jim 3PC container alpha set was $129.99, now $19.99. Shivington assorted kosher cheese, 200 grams, it was $65, now $45.99. AM 20 liter manual microwave SMO was $5.99, now $4.99. Avi Deli crumb fish cakes, 600 grams was $64.90, now $49.90. Avi Deli Pure Fish Fingers, 400 grams was $45.99, now $34.90. Now just to remind you that there's that Soul Workout Never Alone concert featuring the Alexandra Harmonious Melodies, the King David Santon Primary School Choir, Elton Kravitz, Ilan Herman, Ezra Scher, Ezra Altshulter, Shmuley Brill, and Azzy Slasky. This is on Sunday night, the 17th September, 1915 to 21:30, Linda Auditorium. Tickets 180 Rand to 280. Book now at www.webtickets.co.za or Cordell Book Shop. So we're talking to Reverend Alan Herman about the 18 years that he served the Dorfontein, the Lion Shul, with such beautiful dedication and loyalty. And we asked him about some of the highlights. So have you got any other ones that you want to mention, Dylan?
There were interesting incidents which occurred with people that would come to the shul. Being in the area that it is, it sometimes attracts different kinds of people. One particular Shabbos, we suddenly had the arrival of two Ethiopian young men who had trekked by foot across many, many countries of Africa. And they were down and out, and they were claiming to be of the Jewish community of Ethiopia. And we brought them in, and initially sort of evaluated their sincerity, genuinity, which, as we know, is part of what we try to do. And subsequently, I can tell you that they successfully concluded a conversion process with the Beis Din. went up to Israel, and today Devash is his name, is a happy family man, married in the Holy Land. That was one amazing success story of somebody that had passed by the shul. And a second, and the one that stands out for me, was a man by the name of Moses, Nigerian. And again, this man arrived at the shul, and I had a conversation with him, and clearly he was a powerful guy with an amazing character, and I really felt his conviction about what it was that he wanted in terms of his wanting to pursue the truth, religion, God, and seeing it to be true through the eyes of Torah, through the channel, the Jewish Torah view, Torah way. So Moses today is in America, and he is religious observant with a family, converted successfully as well, and I attended his wedding in the States. And recently, approximately 8 months ago, let's say, I get a call from him in America. He's in America. He calls me here, and he says, "I just want to tell you, and I want to convey to the congregation that I'm about to conclude a tractate in Gomorrah, and we're about to have a celebration in the shul, and I wanted to just let you know it all started there at the Lion Shul for me," he said. Now, as you know, Isaac, it's not what was anymore. What was, and those are the roots, and those are important, but we also need to look to the future, right? And today, Yiddishkeit is something which is not, one needs that new modern approach as well. And what I tried to do, I think, in the Lion Shul was to, at the same time, create the sense of appreciation, reverence, and awe for the past, and at the same time, develop it into something which would be appealing in the modern context as well. And I think that is something which has been part of the Lion Shul character over the years. And I remember introducing into the service, for example, tunes like Oifen Pripachik into the service, and there would be a tear in the eyes of the congregants. And then I would introduce a song from, let's say, a modern song, which would be introduced into the davening, and that would give the sense of what we are today as well. So the Lion Shul is really a blend of past enrichment, but at the same time, the hope and the prayer that it will continue into the future, into the modern age of Yiddishkeit, not compromising on our values, of course, on our traditions, but really rejuvenating and bringing to life Yiddishkeit in the modern context.
Yeah, you know, I've always said, you don't have a past, you don't know your future. You've got to have a past. So I want to, and you know, you mentioned modern. You know, it started originally at the Sydenham Shul when we had that Ari Klein, and he started, I can use the word in inverted commas, sort of like jazzing up the service, because it, Chazonis, the old type of Chazonis, wasn't appealing to the young people. They didn't want to sit and listen to a chazan and a choir. That's changed as well, because more of the Chazonim today are using modern tunes, and the choir are using modern tunes. So I just want to thank Reverend Alan for coming into the studio, to wish him Hatzlocha and Brocha for the future. Don't forget that concert which is taking place in a few weeks' time.
Absolutely. In fact, this morning I just came from King David Santon, and there we're rehearsing one of the songs we're rehearsing together for the concert is Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Right? That beautiful song. And what we've done
is
it won
the award. Remember, it won that award.
That's right.
The European Song Award.
That's quite
the
right.
The first one, yeah.
So they introduce it with the Hebrew words, beautiful, and the story about King David of the past. And yet it's got this magnificent modernity about the tune.
Correct, right.
So,
I want to wish you well, Ilan. Lots of Hatzlocha and Brocha. I hope the concert
you,
will
Isaac.
Be successful.
I hope to see you there.
Please, God, we hear some good news from you.
Right. Amen. And to you, Isaac, I just want to mention, you and I, as I've mentioned, we've known each other for, wow. I think you ran the bookshop In Yeovil Boulevard.
Yes, and also in, I had it in Bree Street as well.
Wow.
Like going back to Goldberg's bookshop.
That's right, it was
going
called
back
initially.
Years initially.
And then my grandparents and parents took it over from you.
Right, I sold it to them, yes, when I became the editor of the Zionist Record. And then it was to,
and then it became Kollel Bookshop.
Kollel Bookshop.
And David Aronovitz eventually took it over yesterday, but it took that sort of chain.
Yeah.
But what you've done for this Jewish community, Isaac, is something that is, there's no words and there's no value that one can put to what you've done and to what your, continued memory and dissemination of where we come from and what it was all about. You've really enriched our lives, so I need to thank you. And
pleasure.
Thank you for having
pleasure.
Me this morning.
Pleasure. So I'm now going to pay tribute to Louis and Minnie Gesalter. I'm sure everyone knows. Louis was Mr. Maccabi. He was an insurance executive, but I'm sure many of you remember him as Mr. Maccabi and very, very involved with the Jewish Guild. And remember when they built the new Jewish Guild in Morningside there, opposite the Santon Shul, he was the very involved there for years. But just want to give you a background. By the way, I'm talking about this because those listeners who have just tuned in, Louis and Minnie were celebrating or just celebrated 2 days ago their 75th wedding anniversary. They were married in 1942.
Incredible.
Louis was 21, I think, and Minnie was about 18. Now, Louis, before he came to South Africa, was always involved in Maccabi. He was involved as an official at the Lithuanian Maccabi movement in Kovna. In fact, chairman of the Lithuanian Maccabi sports section, and it was during those years that he developed his tremendous love for the game of table tennis. True, he did play soccer. He was a fair athlete. But table tennis was his first love. And he always, though graying through the temples years ago, played a wonderful game. He represented the Maccabi on many occasions. He was introduced to his wife, Minnie, through Maccabi. And their children, Gail and the late Colin, were also table tennis fans. I mean, I could go on speaking about them. Of course, you know his grandson very well, their grandson. That's Rabbi Lawrence Perez, who was the director at the Yeshiva College for many, many years. Today, he's now the Secretary of World Mizrahi. He succeeded Solly Sachs. Louis was chairman of the Southern Transvaal Maccabi Association, chairman of the Southern South African Maccabi Association, and was also serving on the world body of the World Maccabi as well. He was elected a life member of the South African Table Tennis Union and vice president of the Transvaal Table Tennis Union. I could go on talking about them for years, and I just want to mention and to wish the family a high to Mazel Tov, Hatzlocha, and may they be blessed to have their grandparents for many years to come. I mean, 75 years. Amen. How often do you hear of that?
You don't.
You don't hear of that. Do you agree with me, Ilan?
Purely from a longevity point of view, it's just remarkable.
Don't. 75 years.
What an achievement. What
unbelievable.
An
unbelievable. And that should be a lesson to all young people who get married today. Because I see, you know, I was involved with the union, the Beth Din, for years. You get couples who walk in and 6 weeks later, Lahavdil, divorced, or 3 months later. Yeah, 75 years. It's an absolute, it's a miracle. It's unbelievable. So, Gail, I know you're listening in from Israel with your family. Please give Louis and Minnie our heartiest Mazel Tov from all the listeners here at Chai FM in South Africa and throughout the Jewish world, because the name Gesalter is a gem. It's known throughout the Jewish world.
Yeah.
Right. And now I'm going to have an ad break, And then I'm going to talk about the yahrzeit today of the late Irmiyahu Aloi Zatzal.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, I interviewed Reverend Ilan Herman, who had given 18 years of dedicated loyal service to the Lion Shul in Doornfontein. I've paid tribute to Louis and Minnie Geselter, who celebrated their 75th wedding anniversary, an absolute milestone. Now, I'm talking about the late Rabbi Aloi, whose yahrzeit is today. It's 19 years since he was Nifta. And I'm sure everybody, you don't have to even mention the name, Rabbi Aloi was everyone's friend, as everyone was his friend. He was an absolute institution in this Jewish community, not only in South Africa, he was world-renowned. And he was known as the rabbi's rabbi. If a rabbi had a problem, they would go to Rabbi Aloi. If a person had a problem, an individual or a family, go to Rabbi Aloi. He served the Berea. First of all, when he came to South Africa, he went to a little dorp called Boerterville. You had to get a job before, offered a job before you could arrive in South Africa in those years, because he came in the late 1930s. He was a shochet there. He was only there for 3 months, so that his work permit could be fixed up, etc. He then moved on to the Benoni Hebrew congregation, where he was there for quite a few years. And then he went to Beth HaMedrash HaGodol in Doornfontein, and he was the, what they call the Chazan Sheni. Remember, you had Chazan Berla Chagi there. The Rav there was Rabbi Yitzchak Kosofsky Zatzal, one of the Gadolim of this generation. And then he came to the Berea Shul. And of course, at the Berea Shul, he joined his colleague, who was also in Benoni in the early years, in the 30s, and that was the late Chazan Shlomo Mandel. And between the two of them, they made an unbelievable team. You know, on a Sunday morning, when after Chazan Alta had left South Africa, and then Louis Rabinowitz also went on Aliyah, the Berea Shul became the most popular shul for a wedding. And on a Sunday morning, they would have 9 weddings right through the day, starting at 9 o'clock, ending at about 4:30. That's how popular they were. They made such a wonderful team. Rabbi Aloi, I can still picture him now wearing his top hat with Chazan Mandel. Unbelievable, standing in front of that beautiful Oron Kodesh, remember, with the wings of an angel, which was sculpted by Hermann Wald. And then you had the choir room at the top with those beautiful gold chains hanging down. You had the choir of Gus Levy conducting with Bob and Jules Borowski. I mean, what more could you have when you had a wedding in that shul? But let's get back to Rabbi Aloi. As I said, he was everyone's friend. Unfortunately, Rabbi Aloi lost one eye during an op. He was going to have a cataract removed, and he couldn't drive. But that wasn't a problem. Rabbi Aloi would stand at any street corner, and very popular was the one. Remember that famous Clarendon Circle? He would stand there, and everybody would just stop and offer him a lift. 20-30 cars would just stop. He was never, ever short of getting a lift, whether he was going to West Park Cemetery or going to a hospital or with the clinics or to a offruf, to a wedding, to a bris, whatever, not an offruf, that's a Shabbos, sorry, to a bris, to a engagement. Unbelievable. I even remember once at the airport, he told me when he got out of the airport, he just came from overseas, he walked out, it must have been 20 cars offering him a lift. And of course, as I said, he went to every simcha possible that you can think of. And I was very close with him for at least 20-30 years. We used to drive again together. I used to take him on a Sunday morning, first to the cemetery, if there was a funeral on Lahavdil or an unveiling. From there, we would go to one nursing home, then to another. Then we would go to a drop him off at a bar mitzvah or an engagement. I remember once fetching him from the airport. It was on an afternoon, a Wednesday. And he said, we're going straight through to Observatory. We're going to Eckstein Street. That was to Rabbi David Chazan's son was having his opsherness. That was Rabbi Eloy. He used to phone all the widows and widowers on a Friday morning to ask them how they were. He made hundreds and hundreds of calls, very involved with the Achnosis Kala, with the remember Mrs. Lessem, who used to run it for brides who needed the dowry. So that was the, I could go on and on about Rabbi Eloy. And of course, now his children are all in Israel. That's the grandchildren of Abacha and Rabbi Moshe Kurzak, who recently went on Aliyah, but he does come here for the Beth Din. And want to wish them all well today, Chaim Arukim, for the yotzad of their father and their grandfather and their great-grandfather. And I know there's quite a few children named after Rabbi Eloy. I mean, I can't describe him. It's difficult. You had to know him. He was, as Louis Rabinovich used to describe him, a cold fire outside, but inside he was burning. He loved every single Jew. He loved every human being, whether it was black or white. I remember, I can give you stories of when we used to visit the hospital. I've mentioned it many times. We used to go to the bank on Lahavdil, the festive season, and give out these Xmas, Christmas presents. And to, he would give it to the cleaner in the bank, to the security guard in the bank, the messenger. He went, go right. We used to bank, he used to bank with Barclays Bank, which was in Jeppy Street, corner Rissik for the, Beth Din in those days, and he would make sure everyone would get a gift. And later on, when they moved to Yeovil, there was Ned Bank, and there was also still, then it became the First National Bank. That was late Rabbi Eloy. So I just want to thank now Craig for controlling, to remind you that this program is repeated on Sunday, just after 9 a.m., on Sunday afternoon, we have the Art of the Cantor between 4 and 5. And then on Tuesday, we got the Talk of the Town between 4 and 5. And I have a very special guest coming in on this Tuesday as well, Reflections of the Past, next Friday morning between 9 and 10. Wish you a wonderful Shabbat, a wonderful weekend. Go well and enjoy the rest of the week.